Limitless Truth. Stay tuned for Ruth Beltran and Friends and get your dose of social justice.
Our LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and I am in the studio today with Anoush and Mateo Haynes. Hi, comrades. How are you doing today?
Good. So happy to be back.
Very well, Ruth. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited that the two of you are here today, and that on top of that, we have a very interesting topic for today. We will be speaking about the Dump Duke Energy Campaign. And I will tell you what that is in a little bit. But Anoush, why don't we go ahead and start with a true update?
Absolutely. So, good news out of Okaloosa County. A significant victory was realized when killer cop Eddie Durant's request to modify his bond was denied, declaring that he will not be allowed to leave Okaloosa County under any circumstances. Eddie Durant is facing trial for the murder of Airman Roger Fortson. Keeping law just requires solidarity, as was demonstrated by the Fortson family, who, with coalition of Black Lives Matter Grassroots, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, PSL Pensacola, Tampa Bay, Bay Area Dream Defenders, Okaloosa Democratic Black Caucus, Speak Justice, and countless local organizations were able to form a solid front and make efforts to keep the courts accountable. June 9th is pre-trial hearing for this case, and we will be following this with you.
Yes, thank you so much for that update. I know that this killer cop in particular was looking to go work in the next county over, but thankfully the judge denied that request, and he has to be held accountable for his actions, you know, for killing Airman Roger Fortson. So I'm very happy about this win, and I look forward to what will be happening come June and also for the trial itself. Another update that we have is regarding the Medicaid cuts that the House of Representatives is looking to pass. This is actually something that will hurt a lot of people, and we will be discussing this during the next episode, next week. We will have someone from the impacted community to tell us a little bit more about what the cuts to Medicaid, food stamps, and other services will mean for disabled people. And let's keep in mind that all of these cuts are all to benefit the top 1% so that they can get some tax cuts. Can you believe that, Anoush?
Absolutely. It's horrendous how much our working class communities suffer, and we are trying to do something for like Medicare for all or so. It's like a far off dream. And then we see Medicaid cuts, which was barely anything already.
Yes, yes, unfortunately. And so that people know the timeline, so that you can, you know, do bug your representatives, hold them accountable. They are looking to pass this in the House of Representatives by Memorial Day. After that, it's expected to go to the Senate with the goal of this bill being, you know, in the hands of President Trump by July 4th. I'm not sure what he's thinking, how this is going to be received by people, but I hope that people are very upset that on a day like July 4th, right, when we are supposed to be celebrating freedom, is actually the day that he's looking to cut Medicaid. I saw that 13.7 million people will be losing their health insurance if this goes through.
Yeah, I think this is a very tactical way to do it, because people will be busy. A lot of policies that Trump and his administration has adopted have been done so when people have not been aware of what is going on with them, what is going on with their rights. This is why it's so important for us to raise awareness and make sure everybody is aware of these Medicaid cuts, and we demonstrate our solidarity, we come together, and we make sure that this does not take place.
Definitely. So you heard it right here in the Ruthless Truth. We still have time to bug our elected officials and to demand that they do not pass this budget. Our last update, Anuj, is about ICE, right? Because we know that ICE continues to terrorize our communities. The attacks on immigrants continue. We have, you know, several families who have been left without the main person that was supported them. In this case, is the father. We have families right here in the Sarasota and Manatee counties. We heard of one recent family who we are trying to help, that the husband was detained, and unfortunately the mother that has four small children has a broken knee and is not able to get around very well, so we were able to get her a wheelchair, you know, thank God, so that she can get around a little bit better. But we just received the update today that the husband was deported, and now he is in Mexico. He has not even made it into his hometown, and, you know, this creates a major struggle for this mother, who is not only vulnerable, but now she is in charge of supporting the four children because the main provider in the household was basically deported. It's very unfortunate. And then the last update, it's about what happened on the Supreme Court on Monday. As we know, you know, I think this just proves that the Supreme Court is not for us. It's not for the people. They allowed the Trump administration to remove legal protection status, what is called TPS, temporary protective status, for roughly 350,000 Venezuelans living in the United States. So it allows for them to basically end the program. It is pending appeal. However, I was very surprised that he will be allowed to do that. And this was something that was put on pause back in April when the administration first tried to, you know, end the TPS program, which is what a lot of people are using for their protected status when they are seeking asylum. Unfortunately, that continues. There is a lot of confusion about what group this applies to, because there are several groups of Venezuelan people that are into, like, different pockets of things that apply to some but not all of them. So we will continue to keep an eye on this and see what happens on appeal and bring you updates. So, all right. So why don't we go ahead, Anuj, and get into our main program? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I'm so excited about this one.
Yes. So Duke Energy contracts are up for renewal in Clearwater in St. Petersburg, but the people have another choice. So today we will discuss that throughout the show. And for that, we have community organizer Jason Scott with the Dump Duke campaign. Welcome, Jason, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is just so exciting. To me, it is, because I believe that we, as the people, you know, should have power over our utilities that are forever increasing. So just go ahead and tell us a little bit about the Dump Duke campaign and why there is a need for it. What is it?
Sure, absolutely. So the Dump Duke campaign is a grassroots group who are campaigning to have the city of St. Petersburg, Florida, to do a feasibility study on the creation of a electric municipality instead of renewing their contract with Duke Energy. The reason why our community wants to move away from Duke Energy Florida is primarily due to the rising costs that we've seen recently, the lack of investments in our local grid. We have also concerns with Duke not meeting our goals on renewable energy here in St. Pete. And residents also have issues how Duke maintain their lines and the lack of communication with the residents.
Thank you so much for sharing that. For those here in Sarasota, we have FPL, Florida Power and Light Company, and then Duke is the one operating in Pinellas County. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about the agreement that St. Pete or Clearwater governments have with Duke Energy. How does this work? And how long are these agreements or contracts?
Yeah, so these contracts are boilerplate contracts that they try to get agreements with all counties and cities in the state of Florida. They're typically 30-year contracts. They give the right of Duke Energy to use city right-of-way with no cost from the city, and then guarantees the cities and counties a 6% return on the revenue that they generate in their city boundaries.
Nice. Okay. And in other words, we want utilities to be publicly owned. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. If we move to a municipality, we have greater control of how the revenue is reinvested in our grid and our energy sources as well. And we have better communication with our residents. And if you have a issue, you can take it directly to the city. You won't have issues with customer service as you might have with Duke. There's no way for you to contact the CEO of Duke, but you can definitely contact a city council member.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Wow. That sounds like something that we want. And I'm going to take a little bit of time to tell you what happened, because I know this probably happens with Duke Energy customers as well. But I remember that a couple of years ago, I was late making my payments because I moved to a new house and I did not set up automatic payments. And this was to FPL directly. And I remember receiving a letter demanding that I pay $326 immediately. And this was just a deposit. By this time, I had lived in the house for a couple of years, and I called them, and I remember saying, why do I need to, like, transfer $326 from my pocket to yours that I do not owe you? Like, you know, it was not for a past bill or my bills right. were up to date. It was just because I paid late, I think, a couple of times in a six-month period or something like that. And at the end of all of this, I was forced to come up with that money. And through that experience, I later learned from other people that this is what FPL does. And when there was assistance throughout the pandemic for energy bills, you guys remember that, where the government was providing some assistance? If a nonprofit help you pay off your entire utility bill, right? Mm-hmm. But you pay late because you didn't have it. This was during the pandemic. Some people were working. Most people were not working. So there were delays. But because you pay late, even though your bill was up to date, FPL was sending people the same thing. So you could pay off your entire account today. You have a zero balance. And 10 days from now, people will, you could receive a letter demanding that you pay $300 and something. It's like the average of your highest 3 months or something to that effect. And people will be desperate because these are people that did not have the money. They managed to get assistance from a nonprofit to help them pay off, you know, their bill to give them a fresh start. However, they did not have a fresh start. They only had a fresh start for the 10 days between the time where they pay, you know, brought their account up to date with a zero balance, and they received a letter in the mail demanding that they actually put up a deposit, even after living in the house for a couple of years, like it happened to me. And I was in shock that that's what happened. I did put my account on automatic payment after that, and they did return that to me. But it's the struggle of having to find $326 as an emergency, which to me is just so wrong. So I say that to just give an example of the things that can be prevented, you know, if we do have a public utility. Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a common theme along investor-owned utilities across the nation, is that we see unfair business practices mm-hmm. taking place. I think a good example is back to Helene and Milton, where we had damages here in Florida to the meters and resulting in incorrect statements on people's bills. Mm-hmm. And they just had to come up with the money or the power was shut off, right? That takes time to actually investigate and correct those bills. Whereas the city of St. Pete, they had a similar issue with their water, right? People had insane water bills. But the city was able to turn around and cancel those payments mm-hmm. and ensure that those bills are corrected.
Yes, I remember reading about that online, and people were really upset because it was thousands of dollars. It wasn't anything that was, you know, doable.
Okay, yeah, it was
crazy.
Let me
go ahead and pay these $100 and we can settle it later. It was like thousands of dollars and things that people could not pay. I remember people were very, very upset about that too. And so what are some of the other benefits of public utility?
Yeah, absolutely. So just going back to it, it's really about lowering cost and improving the local grids, so we have less outages and better repair time as well. We can invest greater into smart grid. Right now with Duke, they have a guaranteed 10% profit margin, return on equity here in the state of Florida. So that revenue is not coming back here in the state. That 10% is going to shareholders, right? And we saw a recent increase on their revenue of $1 billion over a 12-month period, resulting in an average increase of $32 on everyone's bills.
Oh,
you know, so if we're a municipality, we can have greater control and transparency mm-hmm. on where these costs and kind of maintain these costs, as well as better better repairs and uptime mm-hmm. for the grid.
Definitely. And you will, in a way, take away that profit motive, right? We are private companies are only looking to make a profit, and that's their only goal, and that's the only thing that they want to do. And if that means increasing services or not doing some maintenance, you know, not repairing some grid, if they can get away with it, something that they will do. How about environmental aspects of this struggle?
Yeah, and this is actually a big concern for St. Pete. St. Pete, as a city, has goals for renewable energy. Right now, Duke Energy has fallen behind on those goals. As a municipality, we could buy renewable energy certified energy credits, whereas with Duke, we get what we get. We don't really have say or control. We have goals, but there's not anything we can do to hold them to it, right? And maybe that's something other cities can look into if their contract comes up for renewal, something to argue for.
Yes, definitely. So there you have it. And if our listeners would like to get involved in the struggle or learn more, or they are curious about their own municipalities, where can they find more information?
Absolutely. You can go to our website at dumpdukestpete.com. as well as Instagram. We have a upcoming town hall on the first week of June, and we also have weekly canvassing.
Oh, nice, nice. And is this something that will need to be approved by the city commission, the county commission? How is it working?
So for our campaign, we're canvassing to get a feasibility approved by the city council. Okay. And once that feasibility comes back, the city can vote to move forward with not renewing their contract and creating a municipality. In order for that to happen, they would need to create, have the county open bonds for them to borrow money to buy the grid from Duke Energy. The most recent municipalities that were created after buying out their IOUs, the investor-owned utilities, mm-hmm. has been Winter Park. And so it's going to follow a very similar process.
Oh, wow. Winter Park is not far from here
at all. No, it's not. No.
That's very exciting. And I did learn that there was a similar struggle here in Sarasota as well over a decade ago. And then Gainesville, I believe, is the other city that had public utility. But it's really good to know that somewhere as close as Winter Park, it happened right here. So, all right. Please tell us again where our listeners can find more information.
Absolutely. That's going to be Dump Duke stpete.com. So that's dumpdukestpete.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also follow us on Instagram.
Nice. Anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
Yeah, we just follow us and come to our town hall.
Definitely. Please go ahead and join this struggle. I'm very excited about our struggle. This is a way that we can gain power over the utilities in our lives. There's not a lot of things that we have power over, right? We can't grow our own food. We can't manage our transportation outside of elected officials and cities and counties designing whatever they want to do. But I really like this idea of having a public utility and being able to use it for the benefit of the people and not just to benefit shareholders and to provide revenue for shareholders that can be used right here in our communities.
Exactly. And I hope this movement continues in the state of Florida as well as nationwide.
Yes, yes. Great movement. Thank you so much, Jason, for sharing that information with us. I truly appreciate it. Now, Anoush, I want to get back to you about what is next in our neighborhoods. What are some of the things that are coming up? I do know that we have a George Floyd anniversary coming up on May 25th, and this is going to be a vigil, correct?
Yes, there's going to be a vigil that we're going to hold for George Floyd for his anniversary. We're going to be remembering victims of state violence, from police brutality to deportations. The A flyer for this event reads that, "Join us for a vigil to remember George Floyd, whose death at the hands of the police shook the world in 2020. We will also remember local police brutality victims, Breonte Johnson Davis, as well as all victims of brutal anti-immigrant policies in the U.S. It's going to be held on Sunday, May 25th at 7 p.m. at 1706 8th Avenue, West Palmetto, Florida."
Yes, so there you have it. There is a visual, the fifth anniversary of the George Floyd murder. And do you remember what happened during that time when people... It was, to me, it was historic, the 2020 movement for Black liberation, because it was a time when people were not at work and people chose to do what I think they will do today if they were not at work. They hit the streets and they demanded justice. It was truly amazing to see that.
Absolutely. And it was also very touching and so emotional to witness communities coming together, because we realized that George Floyd, he was a Black person. He was also a person from a working class community. So it was too close to home. Everyone could relate to him, that we all can be a victim. Mm-hmm. And police has been specifically known to commit violence against Black people. Mm-hmm. So it is very important that we unify in our struggle, because we all know that poem that when they came for the communists, and you didn't say anything, they start coming for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great example of where we are today, where mm-hmm. now everyone is being attacked. One thing that I liked about the 2020 movement is that it became a global movement. You know, everyone, even outside the United States, was able to see that image of how George Floyd was murdered. And it was almost impossible for the state to cover it up, because they wanted to cover it up. Mm-hmm. They will try to cover it up. But in this case, because of the videos that were taken, thank God, right? Because if we didn't have those videos, they would have been able to get away with whatever narrative they wanted to. But because of those videos, globally, people were able to see it. So it became very difficult. But this does bring me to the point that Trump did pass an executive order basically protecting killer cops in a way. It was passed, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, and it demands that the Department of Justice provides defense for any killer cops going forward, which to me is outrageous. They should, you know, have their own private attorneys. Why is the Department of Justice going to be defending people who are killers? This is something that is very unprecedented.
Absolutely. It is horrific. And police, actually, cops do have a lot more resources at their display. Mm-hmm. They villainize our unions, but police and cops, they have their own union that does everything to protect them, even when the cops have been involved, and it's proven that they are involved in a couple of some very, very questionable activities in a lot of neighborhoods. But yes, and so this also just bring me back to our good news from Okaloosa County today about Eddie Durant as a cop killer, how he did not win when it came to justice. It's when people get together, when people unite, and when people are, when people say enough is enough, no matter what executive order, no matter what the president says, but people power is people power, and it takes over everything.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for that. The other update that I want to bring to our listeners, it's about the Stop Avelo campaign. So it's about Avelo Airlines, who just signed an $150 million contract, basically, to operate deportation flights, aiding the illegal removal of individuals without their right to a fair hearing or due process. This is something that we did not know. Yes, this is something that we do not know. So, and not only is Avelo Airlines deporting people without due process, but they are doing it on airplanes that are painted in white. So there is a reason for me to think that they have something to hide. Otherwise, why would you not put your name on the planes the way everybody else does? So this is a nationwide campaign that is taking off. Their national date of action will be Saturday, May 31st. There will be protests taking place in Lakeland because that's one of the airports where they fly out of. And then there's also protests going on right here in Sarasota. So right here at home, I believe both of these protests and rallies are being organized by Indivisible. So this is some another way that listeners can basically support the immigrant community and come out and demand, because that is the demand, is that Abello actually stops their contract and cancels their contract with immigration. We know that no one should be profiting and benefiting from the illegal deportation of people without due process. And, you know, they are contributing to basically fascism and the oppressive forces right here in our communities. And we should boycott them and demand that they basically stop these.
Absolutely. I am actually very interested in looking at that. And just knowing that it's so close, this protest is going to be so close here in Sarasota, I'm expecting everyone to come out.
Yes, yes. Sarasota has been on fire, Anoush. I have to tell you, there are hundreds of people coming out in a way that has been unprecedented. I think the last time I saw so many people coming out was probably right before Trump took office, like right when he took office. Everybody hit the streets and we had hundreds of people at that time. But this is a new time and the resistance is out. People are outraged and they are out here fighting back in the numbers. You know, in Sarasota, I'm very, very proud of what the Minnesota community is doing, coming out and, you know, objecting to all of these policies that are harming our communities and demanding that we have a better world.
So thrilled to know this.
Yes. Well, we are almost out of time, so I want to thank you, Jason, for being with us and for sharing information about the Dump Duke campaign with us. And thank you, Anoush and Mateo, for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. It was so much fun.
Much appreciated, Ruth. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you. I look forward to being here again. And as you know, the Cat's Meow show is coming up. So we will get out of the way and give space so that Diane can come in. But I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. And please keep in mind the May 25th visual. I think you can find that information in the Voices of Florida and the Party for Socialism website. And then the Stop Abello campaign, those are being organized by Indivisible if you want to find the specific information for your city. Thank you for joining us today. We will see you again next week. And until then, I hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life.
the ism, schism, game. Dine and go to heaven in the Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't.